So a couple weeks ago, my wife and I are in the kitchen talking, and my oldest son comes marching in with a piece of paper in his hand, slams it on the refrigerator door, puts a magnet on it, and just turns around and walks away. My wife and I are like, "What's going on?" And so we go over, and it's his Christmas list. So he's letting us know what he wants for Christmas. Some things are a little more ambitious than other things, but we know he has a gift list. And this is the season for gift lists, isn't it? Right? Making lists of the things that you hope to receive for Christmas, making lists of the things that you hope to give to the people that you love this Christmas. It's a season for making lists. And it seems like every Christmas, you try to give the things that are on your list. Maybe this weekend you've been doing some shopping to cross some of those things off to say, "Oh, I can get this, and this is a good deal here," right? But you give those gifts, but also inevitably what happens in this season is we give gifts that aren't on anybody's list. Maybe they're not even on your list to give. You involuntarily give them. But they're gifts that nobody asks for, nobody really wants, but they're gifts that are given. Gifts like bitterness, and gifts like tense family dinners. You ever experienced one of those? Maybe you did this weekend. Gifts like severed relationships and isolation. Those are the kind of gifts that we give unintentionally when we refuse to give the gift of forgiveness. And so this week's leading up to Christmas, we're going to be diving into this idea of forgiveness and understanding what does forgiveness look like and what does it do for us and how do we quit passing on those gifts that we don't want to give, that we unintentionally give, and how do we find forgiveness and freedom in our own hearts so that we can give different gifts this Christmas season. Maybe Christmas really is forgiving. We're going to dive in, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Why? Because I think there's something about the holiday season that's kind of like it's like a splinter in your finger kind of season. Right? You ever get a splinter in your finger? Maybe you don't even know about it, and you go throughout your day, and it's fine until you grab something just right, and then you're reminded of the pain. And there's something about the holiday season that reminds us of our pain. Right? It's a season of heightened social interaction. You have family gatherings and office parties and school activities and just again and again opportunities to be reminded of that person. You know that person. That person that said that thing to you, that did that thing to you. That person who, when you hear their name or you see them, your chest tightens up and your jaws clench. Right? It's that person that maybe you don't even give them the dignity of calling them by their name. You just give them a title. My ex, my boss, my sister, he who shall not be named. Right? Like, you just don't even go there. It's the person that around the dinner tables everybody's thinking about, but nobody brings up because they know we just don't go there as a family because things get ugly when you bring that up. And maybe that person is you. And you're haunted by your own mistakes and your own failures. And there's just something about this season that you're reminded of how you've fallen short and how you haven't lived up to others' expectations or even your own expectations. Right? We all have that person. And my question is, are you ready to change how you interact? Are you ready to change the kind of gifts that you give by giving the gift of forgiveness? And so we're going to be talking about that. And today, we want to remind ourselves that, in this season, we say it's better to give than to receive, right? But when it comes to the gift of forgiveness, it's hard to give the gift of forgiveness if you haven't first received the gift of forgiveness that Jesus makes possible for us. And so my hope today, we're going to dive in deep into that aspect today. I want to peel back the curtain and help us understand how God really sees you and what he really thinks about you and how you should see yourself and what's true about forgiveness in your life and then that how that affects how we live our life with the people around us as we look at how Christmas is forgiving. So we're going to dive into the letter of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, you can open there. If you have your YouVersion app, open up to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to be bouncing through Ephesians a little bit today. Ephesians is a letter in our New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul was kind of a first century church planter, and he went from city to city starting these churches and gathering followers of Jesus together. And then he would, when he left a city, then he would write letters to those churches in those cities to help shepherd and pastor them. And some of those letters have been preserved, and they make up part of our New Testament today. And so it gives us a glimpse, an understanding of what was going on shortly after Jesus lived, and how the early followers of Jesus understood him, understood what he did, and tried to live out their faith. And so Paul addresses, there's two groups of people living in the city of Ephesus that make up the church that he's writing to. There's a group of Jewish followers of Jesus that were raised in the Jewish tradition and chose to follow Jesus and view him as the Messiah. And there's a group of people that were Gentile followers of Jesus, the non-Jewish followers of Jesus. And they would have grown up in the Roman Empire with those different philosophies and worshiping Roman gods and pagan worship and stuff like that. And those two groups choosing to follow Jesus now are trying to live together, but there's conflict, there's tension. Anytime you get two different groups of people from different cultures, different religious upbringings, different backgrounds, and you bring them together, there's going to be tension. And there was tension in the early church between these two groups of people. And there are arguments, and there are hurt that happens, and pain, and need for forgiveness to be extended. And so many of Paul's letters, he addresses these two groups of people, and he's talking about this tension, and he's trying to help them understand how to deal with that and who they are, not because of their previous backgrounds, but who they are now because of what Jesus has done for them. And that's true in the letter to the Ephesians. So Paul starts out right from the beginning. He gives a few greeting, opening greetings, and then he dives right in, deep into the truth of what Jesus has done for both of these groups of people, and how they should understand how God sees them, and how they should see each other, and how they should see themselves. And I think it applies to us today to help us understand how God sees us today and how we should see each other. So let's dive in. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul starts out and he says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." So all these things that he's going to be talking about are true because of Jesus. They are true when you are united with him and when you place your faith and your trust in Jesus and live in his way. These are the things that are true about you. And he goes on in verse 4. He says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." Now I want to read that again because that one verse is packed full of amazing truth. I want you to let it sink in as I read it again. "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." So when did God love you and choose you? Was it when you cleaned your life up and started doing the right thing? Is that when God loved you and chose you? Was it when you started going to church and started reading your Bible and doing all the right religious practices? Was that when God loved you and chose you? Was it when you said that you were sorry for what you've done? Is that when God loved you and chose you? Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Listen, before you could even choose God, God chose you. Before you could even choose God, before he was even on your mind, before you even knew the difference between right and wrong, before you can make any mistakes that you've made in your life, God chose you. He loved us and chose us. For what? To be holy and without fault in his eyes. So when God looks at you, if he looks at you through Christ, he doesn't see the mistakes you've made. He doesn't see your failures. He sees you as holy and blameless and without fault. That changes your reality. That's how God sees you. Yet so often we kind of get it mixed up and we view God kind of like, that we think God views us kind of like the way that I view my dog, right? Our dog, I let her out to go to the bathroom and inevitably she finds some dead animal or something stinky and she rolls in it. And then she comes back to the door like all proud of her new perfume, like, look at me, you know, smell me, I smell so good, right? And what do? I say, bad dog. And I say, you're not coming into this house until you get cleaned up. Do you think that's how God views you? I think sometimes we have this perception that God's looking at us and like, you've screwed up. Look at your mess of a life. You're not coming in here. You're not part of the family until you clean yourself up. Is that how God is? No, I said that before you even made your mistakes, God loved you and chose you in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So he doesn't see you in your mess. He doesn't see you in your stink. He sees you through the cross. He sees you as he intended you to be. And Paul goes on in the next verse here, verse 5. He says, God decided in advance. Again, this is the like, before you could even respond to God, God is making a way for you. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Right? It's not like you're some stinky dog, and God's like, oh, now I've got to give you a bath. Way to screw things up again. No, he makes a way for us. He brings us into his family, and it gives him pleasure. It's joy, right? We're not just absolved of our mistakes. We're adopted into the family. We're not pardoned. We are parented. We have a heavenly father that's arms are open wide saying, welcome to the family. That's what's true about you and how God sees you. He made a way for you through Christ. He chose you before you could choose him, and he's saying, welcome to the family. You're my child now. Because what Jesus took care of on the cross, when you're in him, you're part of the family. You're part of the family. And so Paul goes on and he says, so we praise God. Right? Those truths, eternity-changing truths, cause us to praise and celebrate. We praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You can take your bulletin if you're taking online notes, and there's a blank in there, and I want you to write that down. I am forgiven, because that is a truth that needs to sink into your head. It needs to sink into your heart. You need to see yourself writing that words to remind yourself that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. The blood of Christ, what he did on the cross, has paid the price for all of that. And now when God sees you, he sees you as forgiven. You are fathered and you are forever welcomed into the family of God. That's what is true about you. You want to know the truest thing about you? It's how your Creator sees you. It's what your Creator says about you. And what he says about you is that he says you're chosen and you're adopted and you are forgiven. That is available to you. That is the truest thing about you, whether you realize it about yourself or not, whether you've made that decision to accept that forgiveness or not, it is available to you. And that's what God is extending to you. And yet so many times we hear this voice whisper, did God really say that? Did God really say that? It's a voice as old as Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? I mean, look at your life. Look what you just did last week. Look what you did last night. Are you sure you're worthy enough? You sure you've done all the right things to get God to accept you? Did God really say that? See, in Scripture, Satan is called the accuser. And so anytime you hear that voice in your head that's bringing up your past mistakes and trying to define who you are by what you've done, that is not the voice of God. And anytime you hear that voice creeping up in your mind, you need to speak back to it and say, no, 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 I am forgiven. I am adopted. I am chosen. That is what is true about me. The past is gone. I am a new creation because what Christ has done for me. That's who you are. That's what's been available to us. And I feel like you're missing it here. Maybe you've taken it for granted. Maybe you don't understand it. The truest thing about you right now in this moment, despite what you've done, despite what you think about yourself, is that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. That is true. That is reality. And then you get to choose. You get to decide whether you step into that reality and live in that or not. Right? That choice is yours. God's already made his choice to forgive you. God's already made his choice to make a way back to himself. And then you get to choose. Am I going to live in that reality or not? Right? That's the choice that we get to live with. But we are forgiveness. And we're forgiven. And I think what happens a lot of time then is we begin to make these decisions and we make these actions and we try to earn this free gift of God, right? We try to earn this grace. Somebody once said to me, they said, well, how much does your free grace cost? Because as Christians, we get that twisted up and we think we got to earn it and we got to clean ourselves up and we got to do all these right actions just to get God to respond to us. And so the question you need to ask yourself is this. All this, these activities that you're doing, are you doing this for God or are you doing it from God? Right? Am I doing this for God's approval? Am I doing this for God's grace and to earn his favor? Or am I doing it from God's grace and favor, knowing that that is already mine, that I am forgiven, that I am chosen, that I am a child of God? And so that changes how I live because I live from that place of freedom. Versus trying to scratch and claw my way up to God, I get to receive the gift that's already freely given, and then I live from that. And here's the tricky thing about it, is that the outward expression of both of those can look very similar. You can do the same outward activities, but you can do them from two totally different heart positions. And one is a position to try to earn God's favor and to prove to him how worthy you are, and that I got my life all together, and I'm doing all these great things. Energy and effort and scratching and clawing. And the other is this position of surrender, saying, God, I can't do that on my own. I need you. And I'm going to receive this forgiveness and I'm going to live in that freedom. And the outward actions look very similar a lot of the times, but it's two different positions. And so the question is, are you doing this for God or are you doing this from God, understanding who you are in Christ, that you are chosen, you are adopted, you are forgiven. And this pattern of for versus from, you see it lived out in the letters of Paul. As you begin to read his letters, you see this pattern emerge in his letters, where the first half of his letters is where he lays down these theological truths, and he talks about who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us and what is true because of that. And in the second half of the letter, then, is all these practical ways that we should live that out in our life. And what happens is if you don't understand the first part, right? If you don't apply that identity to who you are and live from that, then the second part begins to look like just a list of do's and don'ts and rules that you got to try to work really hard to achieve. But when you understand that these actions flow from what is true about what God has done for you, then you understand that you're not doing those in your own strength and your own power. You're not doing those to earn God's favor. They flow out of what is already true because of what God has done. And so Ephesians follows that same pattern. The first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul lays down this amazing truth about who you are in Christ, right? He chose us, he adopted us, that we're citizens in heaven, we're God's masterpieces. He just thing after thing after thing lays this out. And then about the middle of the letter, chapter 4, he begins to turn. And he says this in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, as a prisoner serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. And then after that, he begins to get into some real practical ways that followers of Jesus live from this grace and mercy that God offers us. But he's reminding us, everything he's about to say, he's saying, listen, remember that you've been called by God. You've been chosen by God. God has done these things for you, and now you can live from that. And so live a life out of that, worthy of that. And then he goes on, you get to the end of chapter 4, and he gets into this idea of forgiveness. In verse 31, he says this. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander. Get rid of those things. Why? Because those are the gifts that we give when we don't accept the gift of forgiveness. When we're not living from forgiveness, those are the things that we're putting out into the world because those are the things that are in our heart. He says, get rid of those things. Followers of Jesus, don't live in that because that's not who you are. You are forgiven. And he goes on, and he says in verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness that you extend to other people in your life flows from the forgiveness that God has offered you. I am forgiven, therefore I can forgive. You can say it this way when it comes to Christmas and this idea of re-gifting. Forgiveness is a gift that should be re-gifted. Right, a lot of times we kind of look down on re-gifting things, you know, and just to be honest, my wife and I have a box in our closet that if we get gifts that we don't really need or, you know, I appreciate the intent, but then we're like, well, we don't really need that, and so we put it in the re-gifting box, and then, you know, you get the times that you can if you ever given me a gift, I'm sure it didn't make it into that box. I'm sure it was a really heartfelt, appreciated. Right, when it comes to those things, you're like, that's no good. But forgiveness is a gift we should be re-gifting others. When you understand what Christ has done for you, then you live from that and extend that to others. How can I not forgive when I have been forgiven? How can I not extend the same grace and mercy to the people around me that I expect God, that I've received from God? Right? So the forgiveness that we give to other people is a reflection of what God has done for us through Christ. It's a gift that needs to be re-gifted. And so the question then is, how has God forgiven us, right? He says that you should forgive one another just as God has forgiven you. So how is that happen? And so I want to jump back to a verse that we read earlier, Ephesians 1:5, and there's some phrases that I think help us understand a little bit about what forgiveness is and how we can begin to extend that into the world around us. So Ephesians 1:5, the beginning of it says this, that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. So that first phrase, God decided, that tells me that forgiveness is a decision. Right? We didn't do anything to coerce God to forgive us. We didn't do anything to manipulate God to forgive us. We didn't do anything to earn that forgiveness. It says before he even made the world, in advance, he chose those things to happen. It's a decision that God makes to forgive. And the people in your life, that person that hurt you, that did those things to you, that forgiveness isn't just going to magically happen. You have to decide to forgive. Forgiveness is a decision. So God decided, and then in advance. So that lets me know that forgiveness doesn't depend upon somebody else's actions. Right? God made those decisions. He made those actions. He offered forgiveness before we could even choose him. So it's not dependent upon whether we clean ourselves up or not. It's not dependent upon whether we seek that forgiveness or say we're sorry. That forgiveness is available to us. God has chosen to forgive us through Christ. And in the same way, the people in your life that have hurt you, forgiveness isn't dependent upon what they do. Your choice to forgive them doesn't depend upon them asking for forgiveness. It doesn't depend upon them changing their ways. It doesn't depend upon them saying they're sorry. It's a choice that you make to say, I'm releasing this pain. I'm releasing this hurt. I'm choosing to forgive. And it flows from the forgiveness that I've received from God. I'm going to pass it on to you, and it's not dependent upon somebody else. If it was dependent upon somebody else, then no one would ever forgive each other, and God wouldn't have forgiven us, right? Scripture says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God made a way, and it wasn't dependent upon our actions. And your forgiveness of the people that have hurt you is not dependent upon their actions either. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family. So that tells me that forgiveness opens a door for a relationship to happen. Right? What Christ did on the cross made a way for us to be brought in right relationship with God. And now you can experience the love and the mercy and the grace, these beautiful things from God. You can be in a relationship with your Creator because of the forgiveness that he offered through the cross. It opens the door for relationship. But it also doesn't require relationship. Right? Forgiveness opens the door for relationship, but it doesn't require it. Because that gift of forgiveness is available to you, whether you choose to accept it, whether you choose to live in that reality or not. The cross happened. The blood paid the price for your sins, whether you choose to say yes to that or not. And so in the same way, when it comes to the people in our own lives that have hurt us, if you want that relationship to be repaired, it will not happen until you choose to forgive, because forgiveness opens the door for relationship. But at the same time, it doesn't require a relationship to happen, because there are some situations and some circumstances that it's right to keep the boundaries. It's right to not trust somebody and let them back in. And that doesn't hinder the ability to forgive and release that hurt and that pain. It's not dependent upon their actions. But there won't be a relationship unless forgiveness is offered, because forgiveness opens the door for that relationship. So there's just a few kind of practical things, and we're going to dive a lot more into this topic of forgiveness in the weeks to come. We're going to talk a lot more about what does it mean, how do you choose to forgive, how do you accept forgiveness, how do you forgive yourself. But today, I just wanted to land on this simple truth, this simple fact that you are forgiven. You're forgiven. And we're able to forgive others because of the gift of forgiveness that we've received from God. And the truest thing about you in this moment, and it's true about you because your Creator says so, you are forgiven. You are chosen. You are forever welcomed into the family of God. But here's the thing about gifts. Right? I can give you a gift, but you don't get to experience that gift until you receive it. So you are forgiven. And God has made a way for you to be brought into his family. That is true about you right now in this moment. But you don't experience that. You don't apply it to your life until you receive that gift. And recognize, yeah, I'm out of sync with God, and I need forgiven. And I haven't lived up to my own expectations, let alone God. And a decision to step into that reality to say, I am trusting that this is what is true. Right? We've gone through this series about faith. It's our last sermon series. And that's what faith is. It's a decision to say, no, I'm trusting to live in that what you say is true about me. And I'm going to live my life to reflect that. I'm going to live my life in a way that it flows from who God says that I am. It flows from what God has done for me. That I'm loved and I am accepted and I'm a part of his family. And then I'm going to live in such a way, live that out, as I choose to follow Christ every single day. I'm going to reflect that to the people around me. Right? That's what it's about. And so I just want to give a moment. I'm going to pray, and I just want to give a moment, because I recognize in a room like this and the number of people watching online that there are probably some people that have never made that decision to accept the gift of forgiveness. Maybe you've never made that decision. In the same way, it's a decision to choose to forgive, it's also a decision to receive that forgiveness. And so I want to pray and just give an opportunity for you to do that. And for those of us that have accepted that gift, I want to give an opportunity for just to be reminded of the beauty of God's grace towards us. So if you would, let's pray. God, I echo Paul's command that we should praise you. Praise be to you, God, for your grace and your mercy, the forgiveness that you offered us, that you chose us before we could even choose you ourselves. But God, you give us a choice. There is a choice, and we can choose you. And so, God, in this moment, I pray for anybody Anybody that hasn't made that decision to accept your forgiveness, to choose you, to follow you with their life, God, I pray you give them the strength to say yes to that, to receive that, to understand that now they are a new creation, that forgiveness applies to them and they are not their past mistakes. They have a freedom, a newfound freedom in you and that it's part of your family. God, help them realize the truth to that. God, I pray for those in this room or watching online that are maybe curious about this and want to know more but aren't ready to make that decision. God, I pray that you continue to draw their hearts to you, lead them to people that they can talk through and ask questions. God, help reveal yourself to them. And then, God, for those of us that have received that gift, remind us of the eternity-changing truth that we are forgiven. We are forgiven, and everything we do flows from that truth. And help us live in such a way that extends the same grace and mercy and love to the people around us that we experience in you. You're good. You are good. Jesus, we give you the praise and glory and honor that you deserve. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.